What's up? Good evening. You're listening to another episode of Taking the Over with Billy Gunn. And I am your host, Billy Gunn, on this, the official sports wagering podcast of the Dome Patrol United Podcast Network. And tonight, I am so very excited to have joining me a true friend, a long-lasting friend. He's been on the show before. He was on our mind-blowing crypto, Wall Street Bets episode we had during the summer. That was, bro, I was white knuckle holding on. So we're back. Let's do it again, except
it's
football season, man. Welcome back to the podcast. My longest tenured friend, Cedric. What's up, man? Thank you so much for being here. I'm so excited.
What's up, man? It's good to be back. I'm glad to be on during football season. I know before we were trying to make it through the summer there, just trying to, you know, find some other concepts, some things to talk about. But it's really nice to be able to talk about how the Saints are doing, to be able to talk about how things are going during the season, and for it to be happening actually during football season. So thanks for having me on.
Dude, yeah, always. It's a joy. I don't know. I know you're a listener, and I know you keep up with the show. I got a little hot last week and ended up having probably one of the greatest sports wagering weekends of my life from a making money success standpoint. And I ended up 21 units on the weekend with NFL wagers, including hitting a plus 600 moneyline parlay, which I don't even recommend. But it was a moneyline parlay, and I hit all three games. And then I also hit the first touchdown scorer of the Sunday night football game, Josh Allen, rushing touchdown. And that was a plus 900. And then I hit, otherwise I went 10-2 too. I mean, I missed a couple props, but I hit all my games. The cat did well. Uncle Baby Billy went 3-1-1. I'm up to 35-30 on the season. He's up to 16-10 on the season. I have nothing to complain about with my wagering, but for the fact, you know this, you're a numbers guy. I'm feeling like I'm probably going to regress back to the mean. You know, I've got some losing ahead of me.
Well, I do want to say, I want to admit that I'm at least one of the people who called you and was really interested in that parlay that I actually am glad.
The teaser.
I'm really glad that I didn't take because Tennessee, so many teams that we
two of those three. I remember you're one of the people. And you're like, how, dude, it's just
how,
like,
could it happen?
This doesn't feel fair. Like, we're just gonna, these are so no brainers. I'm like, oh, just watch it. Yeah, it's like, watch it. It'll hit about 33% of the time.
So I do love the rebound here is just dominant. Right.
Yeah.
So
this and
is
I got real disciplined.
That's what I look at.
It was wild, dude. It was really wild. And I got to tell you, I was questioning myself. But to shoot back with something like that, I mean, it's, and again, I'm not a tout. I like to win money rather than lose money because I am, you know, this, what this is all about. But it's fun and it feels good, you know. And I mean, I had a great fun Sunday and the Saints won and they're going into the bye. And I mean, it's a celebration, dude. It's a celebration.
They won.
So, I'm coming off such a good weekend with the gambling last weekend. Mm-hmm. I'm excited, and I'm trying to get out ahead of the lines. And I placed a bet on Monday that could end up looking pretty stupid and blowing up in my face, you know? Mm-hmm. And this week is going to be an interesting week as we move into it, because I bet on the Raiders Monday at 2:00. And then 3 hours later, the New York Times published the Gruden article.
Oh no.
Finding new and inventive ways potentially lose.
So that's a guarantee. That's locked in, brother. That's Urban Meyer territory where you're locking in on some failure. Right. You know, you're zeroing in on failure, you know?
Yeah, like if you bet on Urban Meyer.
On the other guaranteed locks, you know, the other places where they were not calculating and comprehending team morale and how that will absolutely plummet and destroy the team.
Well,
and
you know what's crazy, though? The line hasn't moved. It stayed the same.
Okay, so I am now looking at
special teams coach. Oh my with God. The special teams coach.
Wow.
With the special teams coach now the coach, the line has stayed the same. So I'm like, you know what? Fuck it. We're betting. I bet you the Raiders come out and win one for mankind this week.
Mankind.
For all men and womankind and lady
referees.
You know,
at the end of the day, I don't know if the Broncos are a team that I really, you know, it's because of who they're playing.
I mean, I bet on the Raiders for a reason.
The Broncos.
I bet on the Raiders for a reason.
All right. They can beat them. All right. All right.
And I will say that whether or not they have a head coach and are transitioning to a new head coach and figuring all that shit out is going to hurt them. Vegas doesn't think so. Number one, the Raiders could very well win outright. You know what I mean? Last week, I bet on the Bills. I bet on the Bills +3, and I bet on the Bills money line to defeat Kansas City on Sunday Night Football. And they did. They won outright, and of course they won.
I like Josh Allen, man. I mean, I want the Bills to just crush everybody.
He's the odds-on favorite now. He's the odds favorite to win the MVP now.
If I had a dynasty league, that's who I'd want. I liked he was a prodigy-looking type quarterback, you know?
My concern for you and other people who own Josh Allen and other people and the Bills fans and the Bills organization and Josh Allen's teammates is how much they run the ball with him. And he's a guy that they gave another blockbuster quarterback deal, hundreds of millions of dollars in many years this past offseason. And then they proceed to run like five called running quarterback plays and then his additional just impromptu running plays. It's a horrible, horrible idea
long
for
term.
A Josh Allen. It's a horrible idea for Lamar Jackson. It's a horrible idea for anybody that does it. It's just hard to invest that kind of money into a mobile quarterback.
He knows
Allen's
how
taking
to
hits.
Slide.
Russell Allen's taking hits though. Allen's taking hits. I mean, you saw it with Daniel Jones in the Giants game. Just trying to improvise and running balls a quarterback from the 2 yard line or whatever against the Cowboys, he gets a fucking concussion. He's out. He might be out next week too.
You know, but a wide receiver might get a concussion, right? I know, man. Like we make them pansies. They don't have to just.
It's like
be
if you,
pansies,
dude, if you
okay?
threw,
they
if you
all
threw,
have to just because they get hit a couple times. These guys are mostly sliding. They should be protected, and for the most part, if they're smart about it, their risk is far lower. And yes, they shouldn't be getting hit because they're pretty boys like kickers, and we got to protect them. But
if you threw an 11-year-old out there, would they get a concussion? Probably. They'd be more likely to because they're
before the whistle blew. I mean, before shifting the
Daniel
line.
Jones, that's Daniel Jones. He threw for, 400 and something yards about against us. You're ready to talk football. Let's just get through the games, dude. Let's start. All right. There's going to be another Sunday morning London game where Miami and Jacksonville are traveling to London. In Tottenham Stadium. Yeah, it's another just awful fucking here. Take our two worst teams that are having a game.
Oh, look at how Matt Ryan did with that, though. He looked like a champion in London. That dude should move to London and only play during those hours, you know?
One of my losses this weekend was that game.
Damn it.
Miami is traveling along with Jacksonville. Jacksonville is losing the home game, but some would argue that Jacksonville is the official team of London, although I've got friends that our UK football fans that would say different. Miami is a 3-point favorite in this game. Rumors, early news, I wouldn't even say rumors, it's actual news, is that Tua Tagovailoa has come off the injured reserve and started practicing. This is going to be the 8:30 a.m. Central Time game. Total on the game is 47. Cedric, what do you think about Miami being favorites in London over Jacksonville by 3 points?
I take Miami because it's sensible, you know. So I take the under and Miami.
Nice. I'm going to probably, I can't lie, I'm going to bet on this game. I'm thinking I'm going to wait till later in the week when the want to make sure the quarterback picture gets a little more clear in Miami, make sure that Tua is in fact going to start, that he makes the trip, all those things. Because when they fly to London, that's another consideration. You'll get it.
Yeah, but Tua is only getting prepared to get off IR, right? I mean, that doesn't mean he wouldn't possibly just jump in immediately, right?
Yeah, they're talking like he's going to start this week from the head coaches saying that.
Oh, I had no idea about that.
Yeah.
I thought that it was just like, okay, within the next 3 weeks.
That's why we wait till later in the week. And what I was saying was the benefit of it being a London game is that sometimes in a situation like that, we may get to Thursday or Friday and Tua doesn't even make the trip because it's a different type of trip. Mm. Yeah. So, I mean, I think he'll make the trip. I think he'll play, but I'm not willing to commit and buy the ticket, take the ride now. I'd like to get more information.
Okay.
The next game is one that I do feel pretty confident about. Houston Texans are traveling to Indianapolis to take on the Colts. Indianapolis is a 10-point home favorite. Total on this game is 43, which is getting into the lowish territory by NFL standards. Man, you know, if you listen to the show, I'm not a big believer in Indy. Indy did cover but lose outright on Monday Night Football this week in spectacular fashion to the Baltimore Ravens. This game was peak Carson Wentz in that, like, he put up – dude, when you look at his numbers, he put up good numbers, but it's like when they got to – it's just – he just folds, and he loses – it's almost supernatural quality of shittiness that he has. I got to tell you, Houston, they've been in real trouble this year with their quarterback situation, obviously trying to fill the void of Deshaun Watson, and they had somebody in Tyrod Taylor because Tyrod Taylor is a fucking pro. He's a starting NFL super quarterback, talented. And he just keeps getting into fuckery situations. I mean, dude, freak shit. Like, the team doctor in San Diego accidentally pierced his rib cage. You're giving him an injection, like, just prior to week one 2 years ago. It was insanity. Or was it last
year?
What
kind of insurance do you have to have to protect you from something like that?
I don't know if the Saints need it. We got them shitty Ochsner doctors. But anyway, the point I'm getting to is in Taylor's absence, they drafted some rookie in like the second or fourth round this year named Davis Mills. And I think he's looked good. Like, I think this is a guy that's got a chance to be a quarterback in the NFL. Now, is he as good as Deshaun Watson? No. Is he as good as Tyrod Taylor? Not really yet, but he's good. I don't like anybody getting 10 points in the NFL, like as a 10-point favorite, especially motherfucking Carson Wentz. I cannot bet on Carson Wentz losing 10 points out of the gate. So I'm taking Houston plus 10 as one of my official put. I bet on this one.
That's sensible. You explained yourself.
Yeah.
You explained yourself. That is a lot. That's just a big number. It is scary. But to take it boldly means you're confident that the reason I'm scared is because it's stupidly big. So I hear you. I would stay away from this game because I don't – like when I look at the over-under, I feel like there could be an over due to the Colts having a good day. And therefore, also, they would also, you know, get their 10. But
yeah, they put 35 or whatever up by themselves against Baltimore on Monday night.
Right. Football. I just don't like this game. This, you know, so, but I agree with your decision making, you know.
Next game is also one that I've got a strong read on. In fact, I went ahead and committed to betting on this game the same Monday afternoon sequence that I did on the Raiders. Green Bay is traveling to Chicago to take on divisional rival the Bears. Chicago is a 4.5-point home underdog. Chicago has now settled in on and announced that Justin Fields is their quarterback. He's been getting eaten by defensive linemen for the last few weeks, and I think he's starting to get the accumulation of injuries. In my opinion, Green Bay appears to be the team that we thought they were before they played the Saints in week one and looked like shit and got their asses beat. But then they've really kind of got it back together ever since then. And it looked like an improvement on a team that ended up in the NFC Championship game last week. Man, I see this game being kind of a blowout. I'm not scared at all of Green Bay giving up 4.5 points. So I am all over this week and I've already committed to getting into Green Bay -4.5 against Chicago on the road. Total on this game is 44. I'm staying away from totals, dude. I'm trying to brainwash myself into being into unders, but I just can't pull the trigger on it, you know? I also know it's stupid to theoretically and categorically rule out 50-50 or, you know, half of a two-way equation for the rest of my gambling career. So I'm just avoiding totals right now. I've been betting more of these big underdogs this year in the NFL. And what's crazy is you look at this shit and Houston could outright win this game. Stranger things have happened this year than Houston beating Indy on the road in a divisional rivalry with Davis the Mills as the quarterback. Crazier things have happened. Houston's going to win some games, and he's going to lose some games. This one, I mean, this is one of my most confident plays this week. Indy's coming off this deflating loss. A deflating loss on Monday Night Football. A catastrophic loss. Almost historically, you know, one of those, it's like, I mean, it's not 28-3, but, you know. It was only a night. I mean, it's, dude, there'll never be another.
Yeah,
night.
That's
the
catastrophic.
The Falcons really are just right there. Historically bad. Fuck the Falcons. Kansas City's traveling to take on Washington Football Team. Man, Kansas City coming off yet another loss. Total on this game is 55.5, and Kansas City is going to be a 6.5 point road favorite. Cedric, you've heard me say this. KC stands for can't cover, and the numbers back it up. They have not. They've covered like one game out of their last 13 in the NFL. It's fucking insane.
You don't feel Bill, like Mahomes has something to prove?
Even having watched Washington Football Team, and Washington Football Team felt bad. Like, they felt like a bad team last week when we were playing them. That didn't feel like, when the Saints were beating Washington Football Team, Washington Football Team didn't feel like a good football team. The Giants felt ridiculously better as a football team the previous week than what Washington Football Team just was, how they were competing. I don't know. I mean, ultimately, I'm staying away from this one.
An amazing, yeah,
but also Washington's been in the middle of this Gruden thing. You know, people are asking to see more of the Washington. Is that going to take a toll? Does that have any kind of?
Yeah, there's emotions involved. There's a drain that happens from all that extra stuff unrelated to the game.
I think Kansas City is like 1-12 against the spread in their last 13. I cannot take either of these teams.
Logic, baby. We follow logic, man. We follow the numbers.
35-30. That's good. That's good little with some serious.
So because you don't deal with totals and because they don't cover.
This could be a bad weather game.
And they just lost embarrassingly. And
they're just worst. It's the worst turf. It's the worst field in the NFL. I'm not taking an over on the FedEx field turf. Not 55.5.
Right on.
Next game is, you know what? Minnesota at Carolina is such a shitty game. We're not even going to talk about that game. Just keep pounding. Just keep pounding, Panthers. But I do want to talk about the LA Chargers traveling to Baltimore to take on the same Ravens team that pulled that miraculous overtime winning comeback
Absolutely.
On Monday Night Football. Ravens are 3-point home favorites. The total on this game is 52. Dude, Lamar Jackson had the highest completion percentage of in a single game of any quarterback that's ever thrown for over 400 yards in a game Monday night. It was insanity. You like to talk about coaching. You just can't stop what he did. There's no stopping it. And, oh, by the way, he's Lamar Jackson.
He only had to
run for like 56. Dude, when you're throwing for over 400 yards and coming back from being down 19, you don't have time to fucking run the ball. And he still ran for like 60 yards. This, dude, they are so hot. But the Chargers are so hot too. people are running around, you know, like Justin, last year you had two serious ass quarterbacks come out of that draft. Joe Burrow, who's like fucking
that's our dude
as a leader, hey. Right? And then he's just the man. And then Herbert. And it's like, you know, I've heard more than one conversation of who would you take, you know, looking at it now, Herbert or Burrow. That's almost like, am I going to fucking chop off my left nut or my right? Like, I'm not in on that. That's a hard decision. Mm-hmm. Can't pick against Burrow, but dude, Herbert looks like he's going to the Hall of Fame. I mean, you can just see it. He's one of these guys.
His brain, I love it. I love how he plays. I love how he thinks. I love how he manages the team. So respectful. Like, I mean, he's great. He is, you know, you can see it so far ahead of time of how far it can go. You know, you don't want to see anything bad happen to this kid, for sure.
I'm trying to be disciplined because I know there'll be other bets I want to make later in the week. Because most of your player props don't come out till late in the week. So I always kind of like set aside some of my money that I'm willing to lose for those, you know? So that's also in the spirit of laying off some of these games. Dude, in this game, oh my God, like this is the game I'm going to watch.
What are your favorite player prop thresholds? Like, what are your favorite numbers you really like to see where you're like, ooh, when I see this type of setup, this is when I take it.
Most player props are just the way that they're made, the way that the lines are cut is so damn simple. They just like, if it's receiving yards, they'll go, okay, this guy's caught 350 yards in four games, and they'll literally divide it, and they'll usually set the line right about there. Okay. What you want to look for are the anomalies in, but no, there's a point here. What you want to look for or what's different, or what can I glean information on in those four games? Well, you know, one of them, they were playing the badass terminating defense that didn't allow, you know, receiving yards, and he still managed to get 100 yards in that game. And then the next game, that particular player might have had a little bit of a tweaked hamstring. You know, I mean, it's similar to like fantasy football. In fact, I sometimes go and use those player prop lines to govern fantasy football decisions. Follow me on this.
Interesting. That's smart.
Do I rather hear Slappy McFantasy Nuts on ESPN or whatever, or would I rather go and see what the books and Satan and the machines are all concocting together on the official lines that they're putting out, where they're, you know, I mean, there's real money at stake there. That's what I like to look at.
Exactly.
And so, like, here's a free tip. You're trying to figure out who to start and who not to start on a Sunday morning. Go look at the player prop lines. If, you know, if Vegas thinks that Kenny Stills is going to get 100 yards and Vegas thinks that, you know, Marquez Callaway is going to get 50 yards, if you're trying to figure out which of two of those guys to start, you go with what Vegas thinks is going to happen more.
Right on.
It's a brilliant hack that nobody thinks of. I've never mentioned it on the show before.
I think that's actually the underlying similar algorithms. They're just spitting out different ways. But that's what my playbooks do. That's what my fantasy playbooks does. I mean, they're looking at the same types of statistical information, and they're just expressing it differently.
Back to that same. But okay, so that premise that I just gave you, let me show you an example of it in action. Last week for the Saints game against Washington football team, the line on Alvin Kamara receiving yards was only 25.5.
Oh my God.
How much of but back to that point I was making, size included.
Oh my God, dude.
In the previous week, in week four, a historic game, and that Alvin Kamara did not have a reception for like the first time in his NFL career
at all.
So that's in the sample size that very crudely comes up with 25.5 receiving yards as the over under total for Alvin Kamara. So guess what I did? I piled on Alvin Kamara over 25.5 receiving yards. It was juiced up to -120. Didn't give a fuck. The under was also juiced up to -120 because that's what they like to do on prop bets, because they know people like me. And also, prop bets are unique in that most books will cap the prop bets. They will cap them extremely low relative to all your other bets, because
you know what? Because they know how they're calculating them. So they
covered 25.5 before, I think, midway through the second quarter. And he would go on to have, I think, over 100 receiving yards.
How does the cap work? So tell me, I take the bet.
You can only bet up to $3,000. Like if I walked into Harrah's Casino Sportsbook and I go, I want to bet the Alvin Kamara over receiving yards total, they would probably cap me at like $3,000.
Okay, so that's something that's never communicated in any of these websites that I glance at. If I'm looking at any odds, I have no idea my actual limit. It's not infinite.
No, well, on props, it's not. Props, they're specific because of exploits. They cap props in a way, player props in a way they won't cap other shit. Now, another example. Let's say I go in and I'm hanging out all day there. In the early game, I hit that very easy prop and a couple others, right?
Okay.
I go back up to the counter for the 3 o'clock games and might start, but they might just tell me to fucking leave. And they're within their rights to do so. Anybody in that scenario.
Because, and is it up to the end of, is there something in their computer where they look at
your
patron code?
It's always somebody. It's like an eye in the sky. And the guy that's escorting you out is never like, He's like, not my call. No, it's not me. It's the guy upstairs.
Hold on. Well, I mean, again, I think you're educating not only myself, but many of your listeners right now, mm-hmm. because again, in the last few seconds, I learned a few things. And now you're telling me that not only are there limits on the opportunities that I see listed here, but it's like, oh, Mona, we're going to cap you here. You get $1 here, $50 there, $3,000 here. Fine. Cool. Secondly, they can just determine randomly that I'm too good at making decisions and you're just not allowed to make any more money here. Nothing changes about the numbers. A dunce could walk in next behind you. My girlfriend could walk up. She's not a dunce, but anyone could walk up beside me and place a bet that I was going to place, but I don't get to do it because I've made a good one 5 minutes ago. I just want to make sure that's what I think I heard.
Yeah, they reserve their. There's numerous videos on Twitter of professional gamblers being asked to leave, and they're not doing it. They're not being blue. They're not doing anything wrong. They're just winning. They can ask you to leave for winning.
I mean, I'm familiar with card gamblers.
There's videos out there on Twitter. They can limit you, dude. They get weird. They get real weird. Hmm. I'll tell you a story, and I may cut this from the show.
Right on.
When Amanda Nunes, the Lioness, fought Megan Anderson in the UFC.
Yeah, I remember that.
Within the last 12 months. This was a fight that should not even been booked. Megan Anderson is like a dude, it's like she shouldn't be in the same promotion. It was her. It was also her last fight on her contract.
Yeah,
but she's popular. She's a very, very handsome lady. You know, nice, cool, good market. But they knew like they were done with her. So I don't even think she was a fill-in opponent. They put her in with the baddest woman that's ever walked the face of the earth as far as fighting goes.
I know. All right.
Most books, I immediately started looking for a line. Most books that I know did not have a line. And then at the very, very, like, day of William Hill, which is now Caesars, the book, there's a few William Hill books on the Mississippi Gulf Coast. So I drove to one. They came out with odds of Nunes minus, I think it was 680 or 860. It was 860. Nunes minus 860. I went and I said, I want to put on Nunes. And they made me wait for like 20 minutes. And they called all these people and all this shit.
I don't understand. Why?
I don't know. Because they it's almost like they were stupid for even fucking having. They knew what I was doing. They knew unless Amanda Nunes had a stroke on the way to the cage, she was going to win that fight.
Right.
Ultimately, they let me do it.
But it was up to them.
Well, it's their fucking book. They can do whatever they want. They're not obligated to fucking do anything.
I get it. Isn't it interesting? I mean, gambling is so dirty, right? I mean, not only is it like you have to have special rules, regulations.
Designed for the house ability. To win, dude. I mean, you're going to have sharps. That was the largest single wager I've ever placed in one.
Well, I mean, I hope so. I'm glad to hear that. The babe's safe. The kids' college fund is still going to happen.
Cincinnati's traveling to Detroit. Detroit's a 3.5-point home underdog. Total on this is 47.5. Joe Burrow ended up going to the hospital after the game with a throat contusion. He's Joe Burrow. He's a fucking legend. He's anticipated to play on Sunday. Detroit's head coach, Dan Campbell, who has a lineage with the Saints, he was most recently with the Saints, cried at the podium during his post-game press conference this week. The hot take pundits have been bouncing back and forth whether this Dan Campbell grown fucking man crying on
what is he crying about?
While conducting the duties of his job.
Tell me why he was crying.
Because they're losing. Why he's crying. They're winning. I don't think he'd be crying. They'd won one. He might not. They haven't won any.
I mean, what's going on in his personal life? You know what I mean? Like, why is he really crying?
Maybe. I don't know. It's not our business. I'm not worried about his personal life.
It's going to affect his team.
It's not going to affect me. I ain't betting on this game. I bet on Detroit. I won with Detroit last week. They were another one of my winning bets. I took Detroit getting a whole bunch of points, and they didn't need all of them in their victory because I think they lost by another last second field goal, and I think they were getting something close to 10. So I was a winner betting with the Lions last week. I don't feel comfortable taking them against Joe Burrow, man. I'm not going to sit here on Sunday afternoon and root against Joe Burrow. This dude is turning into like, they're telling, you know, story. Well, then that game, he took this hit. He gets back up. He goes to the hospital. I'm not betting against Joe Burrow. Total on this game is 47.5. Fuck a total. You got any thoughts about Cincinnati and Detroit, Seth?
Hey, man. Burrow, Chase, the LSU Bengals, let them roll. And no. I mean, I would just go ahead and instead of not betting on the game, since you're wanting to say, hey, I don't want to go against your Burrow, but you're not confident enough to take that 3.5. I don't necessarily love that over under, but, you know, and the Lions did win for you last week. I understand being conflicted here, but I would take the Bengals in this one and just roll with it.
Betting on Burrow. Can't go. Dude, betting on Burrow. I respect the heck out of that.
I'm betting on that 3.5.
Hell yeah. You know? Hell yeah.
I don't know if it, you know, it just seems like it's going to go one way or the other. And I just kind of like it when it's in this range. I'm fine with this. I would take the Bengals here.
The next game is one that I do feel confident. When I was revisiting the lines this afternoon as one final time before the show, I went, oh, shit. Dude, this one stood out to me so much that like a lightning bolt of excitement went through my body, and I went, I got to bet on this right now before it goes away because this feels like robbery. I better hurry up and buy one of these tickets because is somebody making a mistake? The LA Rams. You're
moving into the 3 o'clock games or?
Yeah.
Oh, the Rams.
The Rams.
Yeah. Oh.
The Rams are traveling to New Jersey to take on the Giants. Rams, I got them at 9.5 point favorites on the road. The Giants are going to be without Saquon Barkley. They're going to be without maybe they're going to have a freshly out of the concussion protocol, Daniel Jones? Probably not. Their receivers are injured. They coming off a demoralizing loss in Dallas where they lost two of their young offensive stars in the first half. The Rams are bad to the bone. Whoever plays quarterback, for the Giants is going to have to deal with this Rams defense. I told you earlier, I don't like big spreads in the NFL. I like it in this game because the Giants have got some serious, serious injury problems. Total on this game is 48.5. I'm staying away from totals. I feel like LA would probably have to carry most of that themselves anyway.
Agreed.
I think they're going to win by 10, dude. And it is a game that I am taking this week and, you know, probably losing because I'm due to lose some. What's your
thoughts
on that?
That's a bet right there to me. Again, I agree with all of your thinking behind it. It all makes perfect sense. The Giants will lose. The Giants will be crushed. The Giants do not have many of their winning stars. They have nothing going for them. The Rams have all kinds of everything going for them. But again, that 9.5, you know, that's a bet. And it makes sense to take it, absolutely. And there's no reason to stay away from this game. So I agree with you.
I feel good about that one. I'll tell you what, the next game involves two teams that I had wagers on their games last week. Arizona is traveling to Cleveland. This is going to be a fascinating game. And I'm on the record as feeling as though the Cleveland Browns are paper tigers. Like, I don't know. Last week I bet against them and betting on the Chargers, and the Chargers won. This week, Cleveland as a 3.5-point home favorite against a team that a lot of people think is the best team in the NFL. Like Arizona, the last undefeated team.
They're good.
The last undefeated team, and they are getting 3.5 points against the Browns on the road. Total on this game is 49. Dude, I'm laying off this game. This feels like a trap. I love betting against Cleveland. I won betting with Arizona last week and betting against Cleveland last week, but I'm not going to.
Kyler Murray's banged up a little bit, right?
Kyler Murray starts to accumulate those injuries as the season goes on. You're seeing it. You saw it last week.
He's great, but I mean, you know,
goes in a little tent, you know.
Uh-huh.
I'm laying off, man. And again, if we're doing this strictly for entertainment purposes, there's so much that I enjoy about watching this game. You know, Kyler Murray, dude, I also am curious to see him playing in Cleveland in that stadium, outdoor elements, because you look, so much of his mastery is done indoors. You know, now he did play college in Oklahoma and Texas, but we're not really hardcore into that time of year, Cleveland, but dude, I know Cleveland weather this time of year, it can get ugly already in October in a hurry. I lived outside of Cleveland many years ago.
Yeah,
it was snowing.
That's right.
I remember it was snowed as fuck by Halloween, dude. Snow everywhere. You couldn't do anything. It was miserable. Miserable. I'm staying away from that game, dude.
This is the second. There's two games I'm interested in watching this week since the Saints are playing, and this is the other one, right? So we got Chargers, Ravens, and then we've got this one, right?
Yeah,
so
yeah, those are two good ones.
I like it. Think, you know.
Okay.
You know. So
the next game,
that it's going to be a challenge to figure out what's going to happen here. So,
dude, the next game is like an anatomy of a bad. I was placing some early wagers on Monday. I had such a great week. I couldn't wait to start giving my money back. And so I'm hitting the early week lines Monday, right? I grabbed the Raiders, as I mentioned before, at 3.5-point favorites at 2:00 in the afternoon. Little would I know that 5 hours later, their head coach would be gone. They'd be scrambling to figure out. It'd be an organization disarray. There's continuing lingering questions about what did Mark Davis know and when. I mean, there's just a whole lot of shit going on with the Raiders right now.
Great.
But I took them. Would I take the Raiders today? Knowing
stay
what
away from
I know.
This game. You'd stay away from the game. Would
oh,
you take
yeah.
the Broncos?
Oh, yeah. No, no.
No,
I'd
just
stay
away.
From this game. I wish I could stay away from this game.
Yeah.
But I'm in.
Well, as a side note from this, let me ask you, like, just when you think of the fact that these are grown men, professionals getting paid millions of dollars to do the job that they've done, many of them since they were 7 years old. Some of them didn't start till they were 11 or 12, but these are 25. You know, these guys are getting paid millions of dollars to be the best in the world at what they do. Stuff happens. Drama happens. You know, the offensive coordinator is still fine. The defensive coordinator is still fine. All of their assistant coaches, everybody's there. John Gruden, we know this man. Why does it take a team all the way down? They cannot function just because that one guy, you make fun of the principal at school, right? You make fun of your team. Like, how is it? And this is just a general conversation. How is it that teams crumble out of the embarrassment? Like, they fall apart. They can't stand up together and say, we're bigger than this. We're better than this.
It's the human condition. There's a lot of things that tie into it. So, for example, you mentioned like, oh, the coordinators are still there. Yeah, but they both immediately go, oh, shit, am I here next year? Like, Gruden brought me here. They can't cut me mid-year because they need me and I haven't done anything wrong. But am I going to be here next year? So everybody on that staff, Derek Carr, the quarterback, he's coming out of a big contract. And the question is going to be, what's he going to, you know, Gruden had one plan for him. It was rumored that Gruden was Carr's biggest fan in Vegas. So now their quarterback, who I think he's a little bit of a false messiah, he's now got on. Like, everybody in that building has uncertainty now when you just lost the leader. You just lost the, you know, I mean.
Derek Carr. I did like
I'd him. Like to talk myself in. Okay, so let me play devil's. Let me tell you why I'm so excited about my bet that I accidentally got into early on the Raiders this week. Are the players going to rally and go, fuck it, we're winning one for us?
The Jags didn't.
I mean, I think that the Raiders are a better football team than the Broncos.
Agreed.
I'm taking them as 3.5-point underdogs. They still remain a more talented team than the Denver Broncos.
I like your bet. This is a bet, David. I see this is a bet. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it is. What, for better or worse, it's locked in. It ain't going away. I'm not compelled strongly enough to bet the other way and just lose the vig, you know, because that's the other thing. The line hasn't moved.
This is a bet for real. Like, this is a bet. I take the Raiders here.
We're taking the Raiders.
Somebody made me
I like
bet,
you
I'm
taking the Raiders
too.
Now. I took the Raiders before. The great
I'm
reveal.
Taking the Raiders last week before I knew Gruden was booted. Yeah.
Dallas is traveling to New England. Dallas is a 3.5-point favorite in New England, where, you know, there's all kinds of analytics and the Patriots have had all this kind of success. Turns out Mac Jones is a good quarterback. The total on this game is 51. That, barring any kind of weather event, that almost feels like a vulnerable line, because Dallas has shown that they can move the ball however they choose and put points on the board and damn near just let folks get into crazy shootouts. I'm staying away. Like I said, this is a game I might put some player, you know, look for some player props to get involved with as those reveal themselves. I'm already committed to at least 4 other games this week. In fact, I'm taking 5 out of all the slate this week, but I'm not taking this one because I don't know. I don't like anybody getting. I don't like anybody coming into New England and also being in the negative category as a favorite.
I'm taking the over. Smart
move. That's a great.
This
move.
Is my first time.
Bucket, you know what? I'm taking that over. Why would I not take that over?
I don't know.
That's getting locked in right now. I'm taking that over. Fuck you. Thank you.
I'll take this over.
Thank you.
That's what I'll give this one. And this is, I think this is the first over that I feel comfortable taking. If it crashes in flames, then, you know, everybody will go, oh, all right. Well, then that's the one for, you know, 0 for 1. But
yeah,
this is an over. I'm taking this one. Yeah.
Seattle's traveling to Pittsburgh for Sunday Night Football. Geno Smith is Seattle's quarterback in this game. Cedric, I got to confess to you, I didn't know that Geno Smith was still in the league. He came in, I didn't know Geno Smith was
He could bark at those guys like that.
He looks like he's been, but you could tell like he was prepared. He did about as much as you could expect out of a backup quarterback.
I've never expected that out of anyone who wasn't the immediate, like, hey, next year, Drew Brees is retiring and we brought in this new quarterback. And next year, get ready for your big day.
Like, that's the only time
I would ever think. I've never expected this. No one. That was just so impressive. 98 yards. I mean, he did throw the game-sealing
interception, but his receiver fell down. Pittsburgh is currently a 5-point favorite at home in this game. I got to tell you, I got in on this one on Monday when it was 4.5. Pittsburgh was only 4.5. Now they're -5. So I've got good closing line value on this one so far. I'm feeling good about my 4.5 that I got locked in because I think that on prime time,
unpredictable.
I think Big Ben is going to, I think he's going to have a show. And I feel like the narrative and the shield and the Goodell and all of the evil and badness and crookedness. And I feel like the narrative is for Big Ben to have a good night on his farewell tour on a national showcase on a national stage. And I don't think Geno Smith is going on the road in his first start in however many years and beating the Pittsburgh Steelers or even keeping it close. I like Pittsburgh -5. I like them at -4.5 where I actually got them on Monday.
Smart.
42.5 is the total. I got nothing for that total. Too much uncertainty. But Pittsburgh, I liked it at 4.5. I'd probably still take it at 5, but I'm feeling good about my closing line value on that one.
I think you got in at a good spot. I feel like because of the unpredictability that you got in really good on that line. So I would just roll with what you got, staying away from the total there. Yeah.
It's the last game of the week, dude. Buffalo, Monday Night Football, traveling to Nashville to take on Tennessee. This one's going to be fun. This is another one. I sit here I'll tell you right now that I'm probably not going to wager on. I'm not going to give you a pick for this game right now, but follow me on Twitter at Taking the Over. I guarantee you by kickoff Monday night, I'll probably have no less than 3 or 4 wagers on this game. Just feels
Why
like,
aren't you taking the Bills on
Bills are 5.5-point favorites on the road against a Tennessee team that I feel is better than any kind of metric than their. I feel they're better than their record. I feel they're better than. They handled their business. They've done a good job covering, and I have bet with them. But Buffalo is just so hot. Buffalo is just so red hot right now. You know, and that's why they're getting 5.5. I'm probably going to, you know, showcase Monday night, Sunday night games typically have more available player props than other just run-of-the-mill regular time slot games and not nationally televised games. So I think I'm going to wait till the weekend and wait till Monday and get in on some player props with this one. Things like, you know, Allen rushing yards, Allen rushing TDs.
Yeah.
You can't account for the yardage this guy's throwing. I mean, it's just, they're heating up. And Tennessee's defense is not good. Tennessee's defense is allowing a lot of yards to not so good of players and not so good of offenses. I really am just going to take, I'm not going to go line or total here, but I am going to get involved on some Buffalo individual player, offensive player props in this game. I watched them give up 19 points and some yardage to the Jaguars last week in a 37-19 victory and cover that I also wagered on the Titans to win that game and was successful there. I think the Titans are more, I think they're better than they're getting credit for, but not enough that I want to put my money on it. Like I said, I think that Buffalo is going to have success moving the ball. See, I'm more certain about like offensive success for specific players in Buffalo than I am specifically for like yardage and things like that, production, than I am for things like the fumbles, turnovers, block kicks, and weird random shit that's unaccounted for. 97-yard fumble returns, like crazy stuff that could make Buffalo and Tennessee that much closer or unpredictable as an outcome. I think it's more predictable that Josh Allen is going to throw for over 350 yards than it is predictable that either Buffalo is winning by 6 points or Tennessee is losing by 6 points in this game.
I agree with you. And you know what you just convinced me? I'm taking the under on this one. Under. Under. Interesting.
That's what you want to be, man. Take the under. Man, you're good analysis, it's free country, man. Bro.
I love that we didn't agree on, I don't know, many of these in general, but I mean, I can't wait to see what happens.
Dude, it's all I got. I mean, I'm likely to come back down to earth, but again, I'm being somewhat measured. I mean, if I had to put confidence to them, I feel like I'm most confident about Houston getting 10 points in Indianapolis. And I like Green Bay -4.5 on the road in Chicago. But, you know, so it's a good mix of underdogs and favorites. More favorites won than underdogs last week. However, on the season, underdogs are still winning more so with the spread and at a greater clip, obviously not greater than 50-50 on just outright wins or losses. The underdogs are performing well in both categories. So I, like I said, it's, you see a lot of times with novice gamblers, it's almost like a tell of somebody that's not that deep in their gambling is they'll just take like all minus bets. They'll take like all favorites in a given week. And it's just like, you know, you see it with prominent people. It's like, fellas, ladies, whoever, you gotta sprinkle a little bit of both in there.
Yeah.
You know, and you're just trying to find the right ones. Like I've said it before, I know it sounds crazy. To me, it's a lot of times it's the bet that you don't make. We're getting close to Louisiana being rocking and rolling with gambling. And what I want to do in the coming weeks is I want to lay out kind of like an outline of ways that you can engage in this form of entertainment.
Thank you, because I don't know any bookmakers. You know what I mean? Like I get to hold on to your horses.
It's coming. But, yeah. It's coming. It'll be legal soon. They got to finish figuring out how they're going to lie, cheat, and steal and take all your money. Cedric, that's all that I've got for tonight, man. Is there anything that we didn't get to that you want to make sure we discuss?
Oh, no. It's been great. Thanks.
Thank you so much for your time, man. It's always good to hang out with you and see you again. And as is our tradition, please do say goodnight to all the beautiful people listening.
All right, beautiful listeners, y'all have a great night.
Thank you so much, and we'll see y'all again next week. Bye. Love you. Be safe. Enjoy the bye. Smooches.